Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you for being here this morning, and we do hope you'll stay with us and enjoy some fellowship after the service. One of the things that, I'm just going to be real honest with you, one of the things that has given us longevity in this church, I think, 25 years is probably a pretty good run for any pastor in any church. I have been deeply blessed. Obviously, this morning is an expression of that. But I've been deeply blessed, and I want to tell you why I have lasted this long, for lack of better terms. When we first encountered this this church, it had already begun. It had already started. It had not chartered yet to become an official church, and there's some things that happened early in the beginning of this church that the original first, but actually technically the first pastor that came here, it just didn't work out, and there's, you know how that works. Things just don't always work out. At any rate, they had been a part of a home group that was meeting, and they were attending Christian Life Center back and forth, and the group had grown to 30 some odd people. I'm trying to remember way back now, so forgive me if I get some of the facts wrong, and you can correct us when we're overeating dinner. But my encounter with them was, in fact, I was there at the, they were having a banquet. I think it was maybe a raising money banquet for the Christian Life Center. I can't remember. But the part of the group from this early church, the very core group from the beginning, were there. And the pastor bishop had announced that they were helping to launch a new church here. And I remember when that first happened. And then I heard very little about it until I was asked to come down and hold service for them. We were meeting in the classatorium, and so of the high school. And so I came and preached a service, and just that kind of idea. At that particular time, I was teaching the adult Bible study at Christian Life Center, and was filling in for different pastors around the state as they were going on vacation or needed someone to preach for them, ill or whatever. And so I would do that. And so that's basically my whole intent, was to come fill in a service or maybe two, and then go back to my teaching and hiding out from God at Christian Life Center. And so we came and we preached, and I noticed something different. Now, I'm not saying this just to flatter the early group of people that were here, but I really did sense something different. And so after preaching a couple of times at the classatorium, the overseer, of course, was looking for a permanent pastor to come here, and I was not looking for a permanent pastorate at all. I believe that God was through with my pastoral career. I was into other things and had no intent or desire to pastor again. And so they pulled that trick on me. Most of you know this. They say, well, can you just kind of hold services for them for about 3 months? And if anybody ever says that to you and you're a young minister and they tell you that, run like the wind, because they're very deceptive also, and they don't care if you ever get out of there again. This is the reason that we, my wife and I felt, long story short, we obviously came for 3 months and stayed 25 years, but it's kind of like a bad penny, isn't it? But the thing that struck me, and when I say that, I say that in a spiritual sense, struck my spirit, was that while we first preached the first couple of services, I sensed not just the people's desire to put a church together, You can put a church together easy enough. You can order an ordination out of the back of Charisma magazine and get $10, and you can organize and start a church anywhere. But that may or may not mean God is doing it. But when you sense the presence of God moving in the way that we sensed him, my wife and I sensed him moving in this group, I don't think it means that this group was a super special group. I just sensed the genuine move of God's Spirit, and that indicated the intention and the heart of the people that were wanting to organize the church. And so we were very excited, still excited about what God's doing in our midst. And so over the years, that has always been our focus. God, we've seen your hand. We see you working. We see you ministering in people's lives. And it's not that you didn't use us before, and it's not that you're not going to use us in the future, and it's not that you're not using us right now, but I do want to be right in the center of what you are doing. And if this is where you want us, we will stay. And we will endeavor to keep the vision alive and keep the presence of the Lord crisp and real, and allow the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do in the lives of people that attend this church. And so that's been our focus. That's been our vision. We have a greater vision than that, that this church, this complex, this campus would be a ministry center where people not only fellowship and have church, but also learn how to minister and then spread those ministries out to other areas. And we could spend a lot of time talking about all kinds of people that have been a part of our church that are now ministering elsewhere in different places. And so I wanted to share a little bit about how important the vision is, because I think some of the problems that we're encountering in our culture today have a great deal to do with the fact that the people don't have a vision. We don't have anybody articulating where we should go as a people. And I think that is true on every level, whether it's culturally, you know, politically, whatever, however you want to describe it. Whether it's culturally, whether it's socially, or whether it's in a church setting, or whether it's in your personal life. If you don't have a vision for your life, you will wander. You will drift. You'll go from place to place to place and never be a part of anything, or never see your life built to a better and greater person than you ever imagined to be. And in the setting, in the context of churches, you'll never see your church advance, nor will the power and presence of God increase and move with greater capacity, because as a church, you can also drift if you don't know where you're going. And so some of the things I wanted to share with you this morning are directed along that line. And in fact, in the book of Proverbs, the Bible says that the people without a vision, they will perish. And he also couples that with an interesting statement that is linked together. It's in the same verse. It's in the 29th chapter and the 18th verse of Proverbs. He says, where there's no vision, the people perish. Colon. Yeah, I'm a weirdo when I read things in the Bible, because I think the very punctuation of the Bible is very important. And so if it says, where there is no vision, the people perish, colon, that means that which is about to be said following that is equally as important as the statement that has just been made, but it also means that it's linked together. Now, you know, that doesn't mean a whole lot. I mean, most of you probably read your Bible devotionally, and not necessarily to, you know, try to glean a whole lot more than that. But let me kind of explain something, because the latter part of that is equally as important, but it is also linked, but it seems to be not linked. Where there's no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, just by the look on your face and your natural response to that, you would say, what do the two have to do with each other? What does keeping the law and being happy about keeping the law have to do with not having a vision and perishing? Well, the very fact that the law gives you directives gives you a vision. So someone who obeys the law, and in our context in the New Testament era, not under the Old Testament law, but if we love the Lord and want to please the Lord, we are given a vision. What is the vision? To live in a way that pleases the Lord. But now, that's a well and wonderful idealistic statement, but does that pierce our spirits with the kind of vision that I can walk out and live out in an everyday context? It doesn't sound that way. But frankly, if you're not planning your life, and obviously as a Christian, I'm speaking to those of you who've made commitments to Christ, those of you that made a commitment to Christ should foremost have God's will and desire and passion and purpose in your heart when you make decisions and plans for your life and for your family. Most of us live the basic dream, or at least aspire to it if we're not there yet, of having a wife or a husband and have children and have a family, have a good job. And that's pretty much the American dream, a home and 6 cars and 5 TVs and whatever our American dream might be. But nevertheless, if you're not planning the goal for your family, for whether to be married and then build a family and where to go with your family and what to be with your family, you are going to be a drifter. How many of us, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about, and it's not a very good example, but it's just off the top of my head, but we have a class here periodically as more people are interested in it. We have a class that is taught here. It's the Financial Peace University. Dave Ramsey, of course, the originator of that and so forth. But we teach that to teach people how to make budgets, how to get rid of their credit cards, how to live on the amount of money that they bring in, and how to put money aside, even on no matter what the amount of money is that you make. Some of you make various levels of annual income. And if you ever listen on the television, at KIT, they have this program every afternoon. And one of the reasons we wanted to do that in our church is because we realized that a lot of people drift spiritually. And all the other things in their lives are indicators that they're drifting, that they don't have a vision, they don't have a direction, a place where we're going. And one of the things about God is when he gives us a vision, this sounds like a little too philosophical, but one of the things that God does is that he will many times just drop right into your spirit what he wants you to do. He'll just drop it in there. And it'll begin to germinate, and it'll begin to work in your spirit, and some of you have said yes to it, and some of you have said no to it. And so those of you that have said yes to it and followed it and pursued it, there's several things that you've recognized. One, it's tough. Two, it takes a lot of personal sacrifice, a personal commitment, personal determination, personal fortitude, and a whole lot of help from God. But when you realize that all that God has dropped in your spirit, and as you're working in that direction, you realize God is helping you to get there. It's true for you as an individual. It's true for us as a church. We have a great goal. We want to. Our vision is to touch the world, minister, impact, do something to impact the world on whatever level before Jesus Christ comes. We want to be an impact. Locally, valley-wise, county-wise, just spread on. That's what we have in mind. That's why we believe this should be a ministry center. And so when God drops those things into your spirit, it gives you a direction. You have a way or a purpose, and you can work out the details to get there, and God will help you do all of that. But for the most part, Ramsey, if you ever listen to his program at night, you will listen to that, and people call in, some of them, to tell how they have become debt-free. They have the debt-free scream. They even do it at our class whenever they get to that point. And so people travel from all over the country to come to his studio just to yell and scream. And these people, some people making $35,000 have paid off $35,000 worth of credit card and other debt in like 2 years. It's just phenomenal, you know, working hard, you know, and you learn all this in the thing. But what I wanted to mention to you and illustrate is, until those people got the focus of telling their money what to do, planning their budgets, planning their lives, beginning to give themselves a direction financially, they were drifting. It was paycheck to paycheck, and it was never enough. Am I correct? Does anybody identify with that? Okay, that's why, get their names right quick, Darren, so we get them into that program. But my point is to use that as an illustration that If you don't have a vision for your life, and that's why I'm so afraid of personal retirement, but I'm also afraid of people who retire, especially Christians, because they think that when they retire, it's time for them to quit doing anything but just go to church. You know what I'm saying? And they're never happy. They're never fulfilled because they've decided, well, I'm going to wander a while. They can go to church, be steady, be faithful, do all those things, but when they think that it's time to retire, they think that it's time to give up on that vision God had given them. I think every time God gives us a vision, it's an eternal vision. It's a lifelong vision. Now, it may take different courses and it may take different turns, but ultimately God's going to get you where he planted it in your heart and in your spirit. And so if you don't have a vision for your personal life, and you don't understand what a vision in a church is, let me show you what the connection is. The vision in your personal life is God growing you up to be a good Christian person and look a whole lot like Jesus. That's what he's doing. He's doing it for a reason. For you to make it to heaven, yeah, that's all of it. But you're going to have to live in this world until you get to heaven or until Jesus comes. So why else is God doing that? It's to get you plugged into a place and with a group of people that have a vision that God wants that you fit to, you fit in, you become a part of. That's why I have a great deal of disrespect for people who flop from church to church, movement to movement, exciting experience, because most of those people are not spiritually mature. And when it comes to really having to dig in and hold on to maintain the vision of God and see that it comes to pass, those people will bail out on you. Hello? And so that's why I'm so overjoyed to look out over this congregation and see so many people who are attending this church and have been attending this church a long time. And they've done that because God has plugged them in. And they're being blessed and grown and doing all the things that God does in your personal level. But he's also helping them be a part of a bigger vision that God is doing with all of us as a church. Am I making any sense? That's basic Christianity 101. I realize that. But there's some things you need to understand. I need to kind of move on quickly. And I'm obviously going to shorten this up a great deal. But one of the things that I felt was I have discovered is very interesting over the years as I've watched our church grow and been a part of trying to help focus it while God's trying to help focus me. Because let me tell you what, I'm a wild hare myself. I like a little action, you know, so I'm liable to just invent it to have some fun. But one of the things I discovered is the beginning of what does God do in the beginning, whether it's our personal experience with him and where he wants us to go in life. And oh, by the way, God may plug you into, like maybe if you're going to the University of Washington and you're plugged into a church over there, you're obviously there temporary. But while you're there, you need to do everything you can for Christ while you're getting your degree. And that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Otherwise, God's going to plug you in. If you're, you know, he's plugging you in for the long term. He's not plugging you in for a short run. And with that in mind, I was just kind of sitting back this week and thinking about how this church began and so forth. And there's a lot of weird things that went on, a lot of cool things that happened. But definitely one thing that was really true was miracles. Miracles, I think, many times, not always, so don't put this down in granite, but miracles many times, I think, grow out of necessity. You know, if I develop cancer, I need a miracle, don't I? Necessity. But some necessities are different than the kinds of things that threaten us. Some necessities are things that motivate us. And what I mean by that is, when this core group of this church, as an example, and it happens just about everywhere, you could probably go to the history of any church and discover this to be true. The core group of this church, before I ever got involved in it, felt a need for a church where people could come, be accepted for what they are, who they are, not you know, condoning sin, not whitewashing their lives, but to point them to Christ. Because here's the key. It's not church. It's not church doctrine. It's not pastor and what the pastor believes or what the church congregation believes that changes people's lives. It's Jesus Christ, him alone. He's the only answer for anybody's situation or problem. But what should the church do? Believe? Should we just be wishy-washy about what we believe? No. We have a definite belief. We believe you should become holy at some point. We believe that God is the only one that can do that. We believe that you give your heart to Jesus Christ, you'll become a brand new creature. We believe all of that. But we know that it's Jesus, not Christian worship. It's Jesus, not Pastor Connor. It's Jesus that transforms people's lives. He literally does that. And with that in mind, what should a church do in response to somebody that comes to this church? We should welcome them. We should love them. We should not judge them. We should not even want to know where they've been, what they've been through, unless they want to volunteer that as part of their testimony or why they need Christ or whatever. A church should be a place where anybody that walks through the doors is welcome. Now, are we perfect at it? There's not a church on this planet that is perfect at it. We just don't know how to do it best, but we're learning. Each person we come in contact, we're learning to do that, learning how to welcome them, how to receive them, how to love them. And that's been our goal. Love everybody that walks through the door, point them to Jesus Christ if they have a need, and watch what Jesus Christ, the miracles Christ performs in their lives. That's been our motto for all the years that I've been here. And so with that in mind, with that kind of a vision, I think that opens the door for the Spirit of God out of necessity. Not the kind, well, I got cancer and I have a need. But the necessity is that we need a church. When this church began, the decision was we need to start our own church. We got enough people that are doing a home group. We need to start our own church. And so out of that necessity, or that perceived need, God begins to move in response to that. Did you know God responds to those kinds of needs as well? You don't have to be sick or need a miracle or something like that of healing for God to move in your life. Sometimes it's God, I want to know what you want for my life. And that necessity, that need, that there was a song we were singing here today that kind of illustrates that, that talks about, you know, wanting more. Have you ever noticed as a Christian that you're never satisfied? You're never satisfied. When God blesses you, that's wonderful. It's an exciting thing, but you need more. Am I right? I'm never satisfied where I'm at. The one thing about a vision that God gives a church or a person, out of necessity or whatever, however God wants to create it, the awesome thing about that is that He supplies the energy and the resources to accomplish that miracle that He wants to accomplish in someone's life. And so if we're talking about a vision for a church or a vision for your personal life, if you're not planning and letting God speak to you, you're missing out on what God, that great joy that comes from knowing you're right where God wants you to be, and the vision He's building in you is God doing wonderful things, exciting things, tough things, hard things, but overcoming kind of things. But what He's doing in you is going to take you to a pretty awesome place. I've always believed that being a Christian is an adventure. I don't think it's easy, but I think one of the things that God does in the very beginning is He begins to formulate an atmosphere and a move for in the context of those people that does a couple of things. One, it anchors their faith. You see, people that float never get their faith anchored. They're always looking for a miracle. They're always looking for a confirmation of what they believe. They're always looking for a setting or a people or a church or a group that is going to satisfy the longing that can't be done unless you're plugged in somewhere, growing somewhere. Got your roots down. You're anchored there. In fact, you won't have enough faith to probably beat up on a headache, let alone see somebody delivered from cancer, because you're not anchored where your faith can be growing and developing, and God can make that a part of His vision for that group of people. You see, my desire is that before Jesus Christ comes, that one day we'll be in service and the back doors will blow off their hinges, and a chariot of fire will come roaring through the church, and God's angels will fill the church, and the power of God will be so magnificent that we will all fall on our faces to give praise to God. That's what I'm looking for. You know what I'm saying? I want to see that happen. And I believe God's working us in that direction, whether that or the ceiling turns to wide open glass or opens up and we fly to meet him in the air. Either one, I'll be happy with either one of those. But that's my desire. And so if that's kind of a, you want God to move with a great dramatic way, then I think that's what God's doing in us. He's getting us ready for those things. He's preparing us for that, but in a balanced biblical way. Amen. With anchored believing people, people with faith that doesn't waver, doesn't vacillate, but it stays steady and it stays on point. Amen? I think that's what God does. And out of necessity, we need that. We need that. And every time we come to the house of God, we should express our needs. God, I just need a touch from you. I just need to know you love me. God, I just need to know you're aware of me. God, I just need to know that you're aware of my circumstances. I just need... And you know, isn't it not true that you've been able to survive some of the things you've had to experience because God has given you a touch, an encouragement now and then to kind of give you enough strength to make one more day? And then you realize, man, that trial was months ago. I've survived it and I've moved on. I'm going to take you to a scripture because I'm having to move quickly. In the book of Acts... Jumping ahead, in the book of Acts, the 16th chapter, let me see if I can get there. I had a bookmarker, but who knows now? I've been so upset and crazy. What's going to happen? Oh, there is a bookmarker. I'm sorry. There, in the 16th chapter and the 9th and 10th verse, I want to read this for you. Paul, in the night, very wonderful. This is a clarion call of God, the Apostle Paul's life. Paul, in the night, there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored, of course, Luke is there with the apostle who's writing this book, we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel to them. Okay, you follow the vision there? The Apostle Paul is... See, if you don't know what the full vision is of the exact places God has taken, but you know you got the... Something's been dropped into your spirit. You never just sit and wait for God to open up the door. You can't drive a car unless it's started and you got it in gear. You know what I'm saying? You can't... If you're a skier, I've used this illustration. I've skied some in my life. You can't turn unless you're moving downhill. You can't direct yourself unless you're in motion. And so if you don't know exactly what God is calling you to do, do what you know to do until God directs you with exactly what to do. Am I making sense? And so this is what happens. The Apostle Paul's out doing ministry. And don't you know God sends a vision to him to encourage him, but also to give him direction. So don't lose hope if you don't feel like God has given you the end of what he has called you to do or wants you to do in your life. Don't be discouraged with that. Just make plans and fulfill those plans. God can direct you if you're moving and you're trying to do the ministry or the things that God has called you or you feel that he's doing in your heart. Now, if you feel like God has dropped it in your spirit to rob banks on a regular basis, trust me, that's not God. You follow what I'm saying? I can be pretty sure that that's not God. But if God drops in your spirit, I want to reach the lost. I want to minister to the homeless. You know, those kinds of things that drop into your spirit. Start preparing to do that. Learn about scriptures that teach people how to know Jesus Christ. Learn how to relate to people. Go down where they're at and share Christ with them on the streets where they're at. Do whatever it is. But you know, if God wants you to do that, do the things that people that do that do. Am I making sense? That's what Paul was doing when the vision came. You see, he wanted to go elsewhere, but the Spirit would not allow him. But God sent him a vision to do what? Anchor his faith? No, his faith was already anchored to fulfill what he was doing, partly, but mostly to give him new direction in the ministry he was already doing. Hello? And so... things may begin out of necessity, but after they have begun, God will give you periodic direction and focus on where to go. And one of the reasons he does that, because he wants to personalize that ministry to your personality. You see, he's using you because of all of the qualities you have. That's why it's very difficult for a lot of guys, because a lot of guys see these great mentors, these great preachers on TV, and they want to mimic them or be like them, and so they follow all those things. Let me tell you what, God is not in you doing that. God is in you listening to him and letting him lead you where he wants you to go. It may take you there, but you never get there by emulating other people, because you are a special individual all by yourself. You have a personality that nobody else on the planet, in fact, nobody in past history or future history will have your personality. You are a separate individual designed by God, which shows us just how, look around. Look how creative God is, huh? Oh, I know some of you are thinking, yeah, look at the sense of humor God has also, but kind of let that fly through your mind. Don't let that stay there very long. That's those kind of bad thoughts, you know, you get it out of your mind. But look how unique every one of us are. And the one thing that the devil loves to do is get you off track to your vision by telling you you're not qualified. Oh, you sin too much. You're not walking right. You need to get your heart right. You get the wrong attitude. The devil will tell you all the reasons why you shouldn't. And God's Holy Spirit is trying to tell you all the reasons you should. It's easier for us, by the way, easier for us to focus on the negative, because we don't have to do anything to focus on the negative. But if we focus on the positive, it requires that we get moving. Amen? And so when the Lord is working his vision in our lives, he has a great goal. When we get to heaven, we'll realize what that great goal was. And we may live long enough to see some of the great things that God has in store for us. But I'm just waiting for the doors to blast open. What an awesome time that will be. But he has lots of things in store for us. But right now, he's wanting you to see the vision and stay focused on the vision and don't turn from the vision. He wants to confirm your faith. One of the greatest things that happens in churches, miracles. One of the greatest things that happens, people's lives are changed. That's the greatest miracle. I mean, I don't care if a person's got cancer and God heals them. That's not as great as somebody being saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. The greatest miracle on earth is someone giving their heart to Jesus Christ. That is the greatest miracle. Everything else is substitutionary, but of lesser consequence or purpose or importance. Salvation is first. Then all the other things are just icing on the cake, amen? And he does do those things, and that's a wonderful thing. But he does that so that he can confirm your faith. Your faith will never expand, it will never grow, it will never grasp, it will never see miracles, unless you're plugged in right where God wants you so that he can do the things he wants in the whole vision, but he wants to do in your personal life, because he can't do it with anybody else. It's you. Amen. Oh, now, don't get me wrong. If you refuse to do it, he'll find another way to do it in another person, but he originally intended you to do it. And so if you in your heart, as I mentioned a moment ago, reject that thing that he dropped into your spirit, say, that's just pepperoni pizza last night. That's not God. And so you reject that. You are then relegated to taking the second best God had for you. You follow me? And many people do that just because it's an easier path to take. Going the way of least resistance. If you want to be a great person, just for yourself, for your own self alone, nobody else, you've got to go the path that really is the hardest to walk. I don't want to take a lot of time, but I was at a funeral Friday of a young man that was, and I mentioned it last Sunday, that a friend of mine had passed away. I don't know if you've ever been to Christian Life Center, but if you have, you know how good-sized sanctuary. Sanctuary's packed. Had overflow effect in the foyer area for this young man. And this young man is 48 years old. In my junior high class, senior high class, college class, young marriage class, young adults class, he was in all of those classes, was the people that, Kay, what was your job? Human resources for the Yakima School District when he passed away. I went there, and of course I wanted to go because I'd known him all those years and stuff, and the guy's just great fun, just his favorite thing was to throw some one-liner at you from Princess Bride or one stupid movie, and they'd memorize the Three Amigos, and they'd throw lines at you. You know, and it just had great humor and stuff, and just a wonderful kid, and his wife a wonderful lady, and he's the only guy I've ever heard of. His wife had the courage to stand up and share, and she said he had to fire two people. He said both of these people that he fired, when they left his office, were laughing. And one of them sent him flowers and thanked him for firing him. That's how good he was with people. And they had probably 10 people stand up and share that were, you couldn't just open it to the whole, we never got out of there. As it was, we were there about 3 hours talking about a lot of things, his fun, his love of God, and all of those things. But one of the things they talked about the most, almost every one of them echoed this. He was a man of integrity. Listen, the lawyer for the district that worked hand in hand a lot of times with Steve, spoke. Of course, he's not coming from a Christian perspective. He's coming from that vocational perspective. Everybody respected this guy because he had integrity. He wasn't a pastor. He was a person that was plugged into his church, loved God with all of his heart, and lived the life he believed God wanted him to live. He impacted non-Christians. He's the kind of guy that could go to a bar with the non-Christians when they were over in Seattle and they'd all go for a little snack or whatever after the big meetings and stuff like that. Everybody else drinking. He's sipping on a Coca-Cola. And not one of them felt judged by him. Hello? You see, when you have integrity for Christ, you don't judge people. But they feel that there's something different about you that they want to know about. It's part of the vision. It's part of showing Christ to the world. Because you've seen him and you know where he wants you to go, you can show that same vision to other people. How do you think you win people to Christ? Telling them how great sinners they are? Would you be here this morning? I wouldn't be here. I'd still be living in Reno, Nevada. But you love them by living the example before them. That's God's vision for every human being. Live out Jesus Christ before people, that they're attracted to him through you, and they want what you've got, and so that the full vision of God would be completed. He would show himself to you. You would glow together in a congregation, gaining strength and flame and encouragement, and that you would shine a light to the rest of the world that does not know him in such a way that attracts them like a moth to the flame. It's what they need. It's what they don't know they need. It's what they resist because they don't know, but because they see it working out in you so well, they're attracted to that. And God's vision is completed because you've helped somebody find Jesus Christ at the cross. Amen. Your whole life, I don't care who you are, mom, dad, whatever your vocation, whatever your responsibilities, whatever your role is, and your example should be, the one thing it should be is one who shines with the brethren and shines a light to the lost. That should be your whole life. If you give up on either one of those, you've given up and you've lost your vision. You've become a wanderer. And you'll never mature any further than what you are and probably digress in who you are in Christ. Amen? Making sense? Let me kind of close with the other scripture. It's found in the 18th chapter. Jesus is speaking to the Apostle Paul. Because let's be honest, shall we? Let's be real honest. Being a Christian is tough. We're living in a world that is increasingly antagonistic to you and I. And you know, let me just say, saints, let's try not to be divided. Let's try to be one. Let's try to be Christians together. Do you know why Christians are called Christians? Because they're like Christ. Let's try to be like Christ together. Why? Because it's tough enough making it by yourself. You don't need your own Christian brethren cannibalizing you, am I right? So part of God's vision is that we would be unified and that we would never have strife, that we'd always be encouraging one, loving one another, forgiving one another, helping one another, lifting one another. That's God's plan. We should not be whacking away at each other. And believe me, there's a few flaws. I mean, there's one flaw that I may have. Three flaws, okay, that you could probably point out, maybe more. But that's easy enough to address and to be vocal about. But does that really bring honor to you or me or God? No, it does not. And so one of the things we as Christians need to be, because it's tough enough being a Christian. And ultimately, my question is this. How often do we really come to the place as a Christian while we're grinding it out for Christ? Hold the fort, for I am coming. And we're grinding it out, and it's getting tougher and tougher and so forth. Don't we now and then just need the Lord to kind of come alongside us and just encourage us? I mean, we as saints should encourage one another, but I'm going to be honest with you. And this is no offense to anybody I include in this, especially my wife, because I love her with all my heart. But here's something interesting. There are times in my Christian walk, as wonderful and as awesome and as supportive as my wife is, that she can't satisfy that thing I need in here. Does that make sense? And there are times I'm fellowshipping with you, great Christians, and yet I feel a need of encouragement. And I'm fellowshipping with the greatest church in the world, great people, godly people. It's because God has designed us, vision and all those things He wants to develop in us. And I wish I had more time to develop this very thought, but just let me try to get it past you and kind of close. This verse is Jesus Christ coming alongside the Apostle Paul when things are getting tough or about to get tough. And think back, how often has Jesus come alongside you at the time things are getting tough or you discover that they're about to get tough? How many of you have been encouraged like that by the Lord? Amen? Let me read what happened to the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, 18th chapter, 9th and 10th verse. Then spake the Lord, not Luke who writes the book, who's with him, not the other brethren that encourage him, but the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak, hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. That's when he went to guess what church? The Corinthian church. Corinthians, influenced by the Greeks, influenced by all the debauchery and all of the worship of Athena and other gods and goddesses. Every once in a while, I don't care how old you are or who you are. I don't know how great a saint you are, and I don't care if you walk on water. Once in a while, the Lord is going to come along and encourage you. Maybe because of what you're going through, but a lot of times because what you're about to go through. And so part of the vision is understanding how God develops the vision in you. He's chosen you because of your uniqueness. He's planted in you His Spirit. He's given you a direction and a goal that only you can accomplish. Somewhere down the road in your life is a divine appointment that God has decided, I'm going to use this person, Jim, Dave, Barb, any of you. I'm going to use this person because of their uniqueness and what they've learned and all this tough things they've had to go through. And on that day and on that hour and on that moment, it may be to walk on water, maybe to calm a storm, it may be to speak into someone's life, maybe to encourage someone, it may be to lead someone to Christ. You don't have any idea, but there's a divine appointment ahead of you that is directly related to the vision God has been building in you. I'll give you one last illustration of this, and I'm closing with this illustration. while I was at that funeral. Now, I've been in ministry a long time, probably for some people too long. But anyway, a lady came up to me. At most funerals, they have a little dinner thing afterwards. Is that pretty much what you do? Is they talk about everything under the sun, including the person that's passed away and the memories you had, all that kind of stuff. And so I'm going through the line, and I'm a professional at this. I hope you'll understand this. I've been in church long enough to know exactly how to go through a buffet line, whether it's it's one at Country Kitchen or if it's one at a church. I know how to do this, you know. So you don't insult anybody who's brought potluck stuff. You get a little bit of everything, but you make sure that plate is right where you want it. So I'm just focused, you know. And it takes a great deal of focus to accomplish this. So, you know, you're going like this and people are talking to you. You learn how to talk, small talk to people while you are really focusing on the things that you know, no offense, nothing like that. Forgive me if I've offended you in saying that. But I am a professional buffeter. I know how to do this perfectly. Is anybody else with me in that? There's some people. Well, Tom back there. Tom's higher than the rest of it. And so I'm going through this, and I'm, you know, getting all the things, and of course, things I can't eat anymore. You know, there's cake and pie and all those things. So I do eat them now and then. I don't care what the doctor says. Well, that'll take 5 days off you. So I'm living 5 days less. Who cares? It's a good pie. You know. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway. So I'm going through the line, and this lady comes up to me. Most of you would not know her, so it doesn't matter. She comes up and she taps me on the shoulder. She said, I wish my sister had stayed around and ate with us today. I said, oh, really? That would have been nice. And then she said something that caught my attention. She said, you may not remember this, but you prayed for her son. He had spinal meningitis and was on his deathbed. And I had hardly remembered this. And of course, the results of it, I don't always hear. I go pray for lots of people. But I don't always hear the final results, you know, or that kind of thing. And she said, this is when they were not even Christians. My sister wasn't a Christian. Her son was not a Christian. But I thought I would tell you, because she would be the one to tell you here if she were here today, that when you prayed for that young man, God healed him. I didn't know that. I prayed the prayer of faith like I always do. I believe God. I believe God's going to heal him. Then I leave it up to God to do whatever. And she said, the doctors came in the next day and were mad because he hadn't died. They had expected this. You know, I don't know if it was mad, like that kind of thing, but they were all upset because they came prepared for this kid to pass away. And I said, you know, I remember the praying part, but I don't remember the healing. Yes, and they're both serving the Lord now because of that prayer you prayed for that person. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's the vision. Be at the divine appointment that God has designed for you. Do what you know to do to get there, and God will help you with the rest. But he's given you a vision. Everyone has one. Fulfill it, and you'll have divine appointments throughout your life. And God will fulfill his vision in you and accomplish his will for his kingdom and for his son. Let's stand, shall we? Praise the name of the Lord. Let's give God a good hand this morning. Praise the Lord. Now, some of you may be, I don't know where you're at. Some of you I do, some of you I don't. I know some of us are going through some pretty heavy struggles and so forth, and we're all going to go through these things, so it's all pretty apropos for everybody. When I was in Bible college, by the way, Bible college is probably one of the biggest trying places in the world. You go through real trials, and this is nothing. Bible college is tough. I remember going through Bible college, and I would be going through something tough, and I'd just tell the Lord, Lord, if I just know you're in this, and if I just know you've got purpose in this, then I'll go ahead and go through this. You may not pray that. I'm a little weird. I pray weird prayers, but I'm going through some stuff, and I'm asking God to, Lord, I can endure this, because I've read all the scriptures. He that endureth to the end of the same will be saved, all that kind of stuff. That doesn't really, really, really help you when you're going through it. It's nice to know those scriptures are there, but when you're in the midst of it, you need some hands-on, God help me type stuff. But I think the Spirit was teaching me the right attitude for where God was taking me. And so I said, Lord, if I know you're in this, I know that's your purpose in mind, that's going to do something to me, I'll go ahead and go through it. And so I would butch up. I don't know how to explain that spiritually. Well, I wish there was some scripture or word that says that, but butch up pretty much says it. So I would butch up, and I would endure it. And on the other end of that, I would look back, and I could see the hand of God directing the details of that. Is anybody identifying with me? You might be going through that right now. And I think the Lord is saying to you through this message and in any possible way I can get it across to you, just butch up a little. Know that God is in it, and He'll get you through it. And on the other end of it, He will be accomplishing His work in your life. For what reason? What He wants for you down the road. You have divine appointments ahead. Don't be late. Be on time. Be ready. God wants to use you for great things. Just keep doing what you're doing, and He'll direct you to that divine appointment. I want to pray for you this morning. I think prayer does things. I think prayer changes. Not because I pray the prayer. I'm no more special than the oil. We're just objects that God uses. But I believe God answers prayer. I want to pray for God to do something in your life this morning. In fact, I want Him to do it in such a way that when you get through it, you can look back and say, you know, that old pastor was right. I hung in there, and look what God did for me. I want God to do it in such a way that you recognize, man, God had me there to listen to that message so that I'd be ready, and look what He did. That's how I'm going to pray for you. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I'm praying for everyone that's going through difficult times right now. Maybe they're not going through hard, hard times, but Father, there will be a day they will be. And they'll need the resources and strength spiritually, as well as otherwise, to be able to butch up and make it through. Father, you never leave us the same once you touch us. And so I'm praying for visions for your people to see the Lord speak to them in a vision. To speak to their hearts, to encourage them, to just bolster their faith, confirm their faith, and use them, Father, in their unique way that you can use only them. And I'm just praying that as they endure these situations that they go through, Father, that you would just honor your Son by just doing great things in their lives, strengthen their faith, encourage them in the calling that you've placed in them, encouraging them in life in general. Life can really be a bummer, Lord. And we really want you to help us have the better outlook to realize that there's great sunny days ahead of us in the Spirit of the Lord. So I'm praying for miracles this morning in every life in such a way that it's undeniably you. Not just coincidental, but undeniably the work of your hand in their lives. And Lord, we bless your holy name. Amen and amen. No, hang on just for one more minute with me. I'm going to pray for the food so that as soon as you get there, jump on in. Will you do that? Don't wait for me. And I know most of you, no, let's let the pastor get down there first. Well, except for Tom Alexander. In fact, I often wonder, I think sometimes I hurry on back to the buffet because I'm a pro. And there's Tom Alexander and everybody else ahead of me. I'm wondering, how do these guys get ahead of me? They're a little more pro than I am, so. But I'm going to pray for the food and our fellowship this afternoon. Please just feel free to come and enjoy yourself. Bring your kids, leave the dogs in the car, but bring everybody. And let's go fellowship and have a great time together in the Lord. The Lord's providing this, and let's just go relax in the Lord. We've got nowhere else to go all afternoon. Keep munching, amen. Father, we want to have great time in you. Of course, we want to fellowship in you, Lord. You're wonderful. So join our banquet this afternoon, but bless the food and those who have prepared it, and bless all those, Billy and all the others, that have had their hand in putting this thing together for us, Lord. We just ask you to bless all, and all the people that have made this church the great church it is. Let them just have a blessing this afternoon for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.